What's happening, Entrepreneur Land? We are back in action, lending our thoughts to help you live a more productive and more profitable life. This is the Radically Ambitious Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Radically Ambitious Podcast. My name is Greg Roulette, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Brett Berkey. What's happening, man?
Not much. Just hanging out, man. Enjoying the new year. All that good stuff and getting back in the groove and, you know, catching up with life.
So we are recording this podcast a little late. It's already the start of the second week of the new year. Brett, are you just busting down the door in 2012 already?
Well, I mean, busting down the door and kind of, you know, checking out which way I'm going to go. There's a lot of cool things happening this year, though. I mean, everything's lined up and kind of like, not to use any type of Mayan jibber jabber, but the stars are aligning in my favor, it seems like, and a lot of things. It's like, wow, everything's kind of falling into place, and I can move these pawns however I want to, and here I'm going to go ahead and do this and do this. So I think actually this year's going to be a really good one.
I like that. And since I haven't caught up with you since New Year's, what happened on New Year's? Did you go out and get crazy, or?
Oh, you can't get that crazy with a young daughter. But we had fun.
I beg to differ.
We had fun. I made some awesome, cooking's like one of my favorite hobbies, and so made some coconut shrimp and some awesome salad, and we went over to my buddy's house and we had a bonfire, and I brought the guitar, and I played for like 3 or 4 hours. Actually, it felt really good to play guitar that long again. And that was it, man. After, 12:30 or something like that, we took off. It was awesome. Daughter was perfect the whole time. She didn't whine. She didn't complain. It was really cool.
That's awesome. I love it. And before we kick into this week's episode, I do want to say that we have a brand new 5-star iTunes review.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. And this comes from Silverback Buddha, who says, "These guys are giving no-nonsense, real-world tips and tools useful to any entrepreneur, especially those involved with internet marketing. The episodes are right to the point with no fluff." Shout out, Silverback Buddha. Appreciate it. If you guys like what you hear, just head on over to iTunes, do a search for Radically Ambitious, leave us a review, tell us what you like, what you don't like, and help other entrepreneurs become more profitable and more productive in 2012. So, Brett, man, if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's roll right into segment one, the cool apps, tricks and tips to live a more radical entrepreneurial life.
It's fun.
All right, this week, Brett, man, you're back telling us another cool app trick or tip. And I think you have a really cool one. And again, the last two episodes, we focused a little bit about on setting up 2012. And I think this cool tool really digs into that. So why don't you give everyone the lowdown on this week's cool app trick or tool?
Okay. All right. So, you know, in the past, up until this year, I've, you know, done things totally different and try to use Evernote and, you know, Excel spreadsheets and all kinds of stuff. And I kind of wanted to scrap it. I was like, you know, it's 2012. There's got to be something cooler than, you know, the way I've done it in the past. And so I found what's called Goals on Track. And it's like an all-in-one solution. It's really cool. I used to use this thing called Habit Factor on my phone, which kind of like helps you track habits to, you know, align with goals. And you put them in personal, or you put them in work, or you put them in self, or spiritual, and all these different things like that. And I kind of got used to the habit of that. But what was really a bummer last year when I was doing is that my phone decided to go swimming, and then all that data was gone. And so like halfway through the years, I'm tracking this stuff, and it was like, well, I don't know how good I'm doing anymore, because everything was gone. And I was like, well, this sucks. So I was back to, you know, my old ways of doing it. So this year I was like, I'm not doing it that way. I want to find something that's, you know, cloud-based, something that I can do. And Goals on Track is just an amazing piece of software. It's priced, decently. It's like $60-something for the year, you know, not much, you know, whoop-de-doo. And what it is basically you get in there and you have a dashboard and you have all your goals aligned, or all your goals. And they kind of take the idea of, oh gosh, what's that? Oh no, The Secret, where you have your
visualization kind
of
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, your vision board and stuff like that. So, for like one of my things is, this year I'm going to become an intermediate level cook. And, that basically what that means is I'm going to be cooking on Saturday. And so, I'm taking maybe a cooking class here and there, just my hobby type stuff. And, so I go put a picture of a chef with a chef hat on making some fancy dinner. And so, okay, well, that's the main goal. Well, then what do you have to do that? Well, you need to align your tasks with that. Well, so for, cooking, well, I want to learn how to smoke stuff. I want to learn how to create rubs, and I want to learn how to be better at the grill. Well, all these things are part of the bigger encompassing goal of becoming at least an intermediate level style of cook, but then I have to assign those things. So the cool thing about it is, okay, now if I'm going to learn how to smoke items, okay, well, I want to be able to do, 15 smoked items a year. So I set up all these books and went through all my cookbooks, found what it is, and then I assigned them to dates. So now it has another feature, and it really works well if you have two screens, because I put one on the screen of the tasks, and I put another on the screen with the calendar. And so, then I just start aligning things out on the calendar, and so I hit a task over here, and it updates on the other screen. Hey, this is what the next month, this is what's coming. You have something on Friday. And so I know that next month, on the 13th, on Friday, whatever, I'm smoking this. And then I know that I need to get this. So if I'm smoking this on the 13th, I need to make sure that I get these ingredients, which go into another task, like a subtask. So you can do tasks of subtasks of subtasks, and then you can align habits as well with your goals. So the other goals, of course, are, typical stuff of just, maintaining things like, I want to learn bossa nova a little bit more this year. I really like the style of music, and it's a style that, not a lot of people do. But to do that, what are the habits I need to do? And so, a couple of days a week you need to practice this, or once a week you need to do this. And so setting up those habits, it makes you track it on a 21-day or, it has a different, goals of 100 days for a habit and how you do all that stuff. But it all works into one system, and it can align with your iCalendar. They just came out with an iPhone app, which doesn't do much for me since I went Droid recently. But, for people like you, you get the iPhone app or iPhone. This would actually be a pretty cool thing because they just released a beta thing. Another really cool thing about it is it has journal in there. So, it's like, so like you're working out and you're like, man, yeah, today I didn't hit it hard because, I just didn't feel it or something, whatever. You just write whatever you want. And then at the other last tab is you have reports. So you can see like a graph over time of how you're doing and when your down months are and how you move along. So it's a pretty robust piece of like online software. And the cool thing about it is the guy's really responsive. His name's Mr. Harry. I mean, at least that's what his name is in YouTube. But, I asked him questions. He was right on it. And their documentation is like, it's pretty in depth, and they got all the videos for it, and I was impressed. So just to say all that, to say that it's actually a really good way of managing, maintaining, and completing your goals.
That's awesome. Now, have you set up some goals in Goals on Track already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got all kinds of stuff lined up.
I like that. And so what we've actually done is, Brett, you've shot a quick video on how to set up a goal in Goals on Track, and you can catch that on the Radically Ambitious YouTube channel, and you can really see how to set up a goal, how to set up the tasks, the visualization stuff, everything that Brett just shared, because this is a big part of setting your goals, and we talked a little bit about it in the last two episodes, that you need to map out the things that you want to accomplish in 2012. And Brett just shared some of the personal things that he wants to accomplish. And, by us sharing that, hopefully in your head, you're thinking about the things that you want to accomplish. And goalsontrack.com can help you get there. It's $68 a year for the membership. So it's like $5 a month to achieve your goals. So if your goal is like, making six figures in your business or hitting the $1 million mark or getting a certain number of sales, I mean, $68.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Come on. Love it. Really, really cool. So check out the video. Check out goalsontrack.com if that is something that's going to help you visualize, keep track of, and really attain your goals in 2012. So, Brett, man, thanks for sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, boys and girls, let's jump into segment two, your ambitious action plan.
You're going to love this.
All right, it is time for this week's Ambitious Action Plan. And like we've been saying, the last couple weeks, it's all been setting up your 2012, setting up your year. And really, you know, if you're just trying to set up 2012, you're too late. But if you're just trying to set up your future and trying to set up the things that you want to accomplish, you're never too late because there's no better time than the present. And what we're talking about today are four things that have personally helped me build my brand and put me to, you know, what I consider to be kind of the top of my industry. And I did it pretty quick. I'm fairly young and I've been able to do a lot of things that, you know, it takes a lot of people a long time to get there. So I thought it'd be really cool, Brett, if I just shared some of the most important things that have kind of gotten us to where we are today.
Sounds good to me.
So let's rock and roll. We got four big things, and the number one, and this is huge, and a lot of you guys know this, but it's people by people, right? So at the end of the day, if someone wants SEO services, they're not looking for a robot. They're looking for someone like Brett Berkey, who's the number one SEO in the world, who's a professor of SEO, who's blogging about SEO, who's talking about SEO, who's helped people get SEO. He's speaking at industry conferences. People are buying into him. Right? Same thing with me. When people want information products, they're looking for the guy that's speaking on it, that's putting out webinars, that's doing podcasts about products, that's talking about products, that's written books about products, but they're buying me. They're buying my personality. They either like me or they don't, right? So, you know, essentially what I've done over the last few years is I've posted everywhere. I've written, you know, 2 years ago I was writing 5 posts a week. You know, I was writing anything that I could. I was posting tons of video. I was doing interviews anywhere that I could. I was speaking at any and every event from, you know, Blog Orlando to bar camps to Ignite events to social media clubs to affiliate summit. I mean, everywhere that was like, hey, we need a speaker, I was speaking at. Anywhere that was like, hey, we accept guest posts, I was guest posting. Anywhere that I could post a freaking blog post, I was posting it. And it was really a 2-year hustle that didn't really have immediate payoff because I didn't get paid for a lot of that stuff. But by doing that over the 2 years, I've built up credentials. I've met people that I never would have met in other ways. I have logos that I can now use on my sites, which I'm going to talk about in the next post. And it was a learning experience because I got to really hone my craft. Because if you're creating that much content, you got to say something, right? So by writing all of that stuff, by doing all the videos, by speaking at all those events, it really helped me to really cultivate my message and what I want to say and what I want to share and who I'm going to become as an entrepreneur and as a business person. So, you know, all that to say that people buy people. You need to let your personality shine because at the end of the day, if someone wants a product, you know, made, they're going to get on the phone with me. They're going to get on the phone with 2 or 3 other people. If you're a real estate, you know, entrepreneur, investor, or even just a real estate agent, people are calling 5, 6, 7 realtors before they decide to list their home. And they're going to buy from the person that relates to them the most, the person that had the most likability factor, right? Mm-hmm. People are doing local marketing services, Brett. How many, you know, you're probably putting in proposals and bids and phone calls and presentations with, you know, a ton of other people, and you win the business because people buy you
at the end of the day. Yeah, I was actually, I forget who I was talking with this about like a couple of days ago. But they were saying, you know, what would make somebody, you know, go with somebody else over me? And there's like, what do you do? I was like, well, don't be afraid to ask somebody, hey, would you rather have the meeting at 5 o'clock and I'll buy you a beer? Because at that point, you know, really the meetings, I mean, you can really get a lot of these things done over the phone. You don't really need to do that, you know, in person. So, I mean, the whole point is to, you got to jump over the wall. And so I found is like, you know, a lot of the people that you know we're clients and everything, they're like friends, you know. I'll send them, you know, if they might actually make it to the dare I send this email list, you know, like, you know, there's ones that you really don't think you should send, but you know, you send it to your close buddies, you know. But you know, some of those people, and then it's after that, it's just, you know, people want to have those people like in on their side, like they want that tech guy. Well, oh, my tech guy, or oh yeah, this is, you know, my guy for this. It's just the same way of what Robert Kiyosaki said in the Rich Dad Poor Dad book is surround yourself with smart people. And that's really what these people try to do. And they just want to pigeonhole you. But if they like you, they keep you there.
So right. That's what these people want, is they want the guy, right? Mm-hmm. They want the SEO guy. Mm-hmm. You know, they want the product guy. They want the real estate guy. They want the insurance guy, the tech guy. You need to be that guy. is really what this boils down to. So step one, people buy from people, all right? Going into number two, and this has really been big, is leverage the media, right? People care about this stuff way more than you think on a psychological level. Right. And it's not because everybody's watching Live with Regis and Kelly at 9 o'clock, because they're not. Right. You know, Brett, did you read the USA Today today?
No. What happened?
No. But but if I was featured in the USA Today and I was like, yo, Brett, I was in the USA Today, you'd be like, man, that's huge. Because yeah. It's the USA Today. But you didn't read it.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Yeah. No. So,
but it just still has this psychological connotation that these media is so much bigger, you know, than you really think it is, right? Just getting on the local news, not that big of a deal, but how many times have you been on the local news? How many times have I been on the local news? You know?
That's how I even found you, before I even knew you. I remember I was like, I want to work with this dude. And I remember you had something on, like something here in Orlando. It was like, I don't know, channel something, whatever. And you were sitting there talking about social media. And I was like, who the hell is this dude? And then I was like, this was years ago. And I was like, what the hell? This guy's cool. And then so that's when I got on your Twitter. I started kind of like virtually stalking. And I was like, you know, you'd be like, hey, I'm going to be at this event or whatever, whatever. You just, you know, pretty much say where you're at. And I would just show up. I knew what you looked like. So then I just would be like, hey, what's up? My name's Brett. And then that was it after that.
But that's huge. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Just because you see some dude in the media, and, you know, the partner that I'm working with now, I had known him in kind of the local community, but it wasn't until I wrote a guest post on Mashable that went into his Google Reader or his Google Alerts or whatever it was. And he's like, this dude's right in Orlando. I forgot about him. And now 2 years later, you know, we're partners in the Product Pros, and it's huge. So, all right. So, three things to help yourself leverage the media. The first is big blogs. And this one really, it really set the bar so high for me. You know, I wrote for Mashable something like 2-something years ago before it became this crazy phenomenon that it is today. And, you know, so I've written for them. I've written for Huffington Post. I've done guest posts for like Chris Brogan and some of his sites. And, you know, I've done a lot with the blogs. And really with blogs, there's three ways to get the attention of these big blogs. I'm not talking about, you know, the lifestyle design blogger, because they accept guest posts, you know, like it's their day job. I'm talking about the big guys, the TechCrunches, the Mashables, the Huffington, stuff like that. So there's really three ways to get their attention. Is one, is have something newsworthy for their audience, because a lot of these big sites are posting multiple posts a day, and they're just posting news. So if you have something newsworthy, you have a new app that came out, you just did something, you just had some kind of even case study that's a little out of the ordinary, whatever it is, pitch them stuff, right? They need stories just as much as anyone else does. So have something newsworthy, right? Two is the guest posts. A lot of these places still accept guest posts, but you need to come with the sharpest angle, right? If you're trying to write for Mashable or TechCrunch right now, they have written about everything. You know, you can't just write, here are 5 cool social media tips, right? You can't do it. So even 2 years ago when I wrote for them, you know, I wrote 2 posts for them. And the second one was the more popular of the two. And it was all about 5 ways that indie artists are releasing new albums via social media. And just no one had ever written about that before. I came from a different angle. I related to them, you know, and it was a great post. And it had, you know, hundreds of retweets, hundreds of comments, and it did really good. But I came with a different angle. I didn't come with, let me tell you 5 social media tips that, you know, Justin Bieber's doing. You know, you gotta really get outside the box and deliver something that's never been done before, which is very difficult, because if they're writing 5 posts a day, 365 days a year, and they've been doing this for 5 years, I mean, there's, 10,000 posts on Mashable right now. So stand out. So that's 2. 3, and this is really cool, is to befriend a contributor of those sites and keep sending them cool stuff, whether it's via Twitter, email. Don't be an asshole or, you know, a douchebag and just send them stuff all day long. Like, hey, check out this new social media site. Check out this new site.
Yeah.
You know, but be cool to them, right? So the first time I got to write for Mashable, the reason why I got the initial in was here in Orlando. It was either Bar Camp or Blog Orlando. It was one of those kind of events. And Tamar Weinberg was there. And she, at the time, was the editor for Mashable. And I took her out to lunch. And I bought her some beers. And we had a good time. And I followed up with her. And then, you know, I sent her an email. Just like, hey, you know, here's some really cool stuff that would work for your blog. She wrote a site called Techopedia at the time. And she was putting a book together in the social media Bible. Or it was something like that. So I just sent her a couple tips. And then all of a sudden, she's like, hey, Greg, I'm doing this. She knew I did music stuff. She's like, hey, I got this music post I'm running. Would you like to contribute something? And then I contributed something that was really cool. And it made the article. And the next thing you know, she introduced me to the guest post editor at Mashable. And boom, I'm writing for Mashable. Right? So befriend these people. Right? Go to the contributors page, see who all the contributors are, see where you can factor in, and use some of the networking tips that we talked about last week, and just start networking them. So those are three ways to get on blogs. Those are really three ways to get on all kinds of media, but blogs in general, all right? So let's keep on moving. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Two is local TV news, and Brett mentioned it that, you know, one of the first times he saw who I was through local TV news, and I had been on Fox News three times in 1 week. And the reason why is because the news, the local TV news, needs stories just as much as blog writers do. They need to fill, 3 hours every morning from like 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. every single morning. They got to fill 3 hours worth of stuff. Right? And, you know, there's only so many murders and depressing crap that they can put on there. At some point, they need some other stuff. They need community stuff. So they need stories. And what you need to do is you need to pitch them something that can help their audience, know their audience, know their political alignments, know who they support, all that good stuff, so you know which channels to pitch. And then also you need to show them that you have the camera presence and the chops to deliver, because they don't want to put someone on camera and then they ask them a question like, all right, so what's the stock market going to do? And you just go, you know, so they want to know you have chops. So pitch them the stories, show them some videos of you, showing them other media examples and credentials that you've done, really, really huge. And that's what we did. When we got on Fox News is we had a job fair coming up, and we were like, well, what better way to promote a job fair than to go on and talk about how to find a job in Central Florida? And so I went on there, and we were like, let's do a weekly series. And every week, you know, we'll come and we'll do, you know, a 2-3 minute segment on one on social media, one on personal branding, one on resumes, one on interviews, yada yada. And they were like, this is awesome, right? It was right when all the jobs are being lost, and they thought it was, you know, just a genius idea to have a whole jobs week. And so they loved it, and they took it, and we ran it, and now I got clips on Fox News for an entire week, which is pretty stellar, and we've leveraged that for all kinds of other stuff. But local TV news, definitely go and do that. And then the third thing in leveraging the media is to publish a book, and this is really almost becoming a pseudo like requirement into the expert space these days. And there's a lot of ways to do it. You can self-publish. You can do something like CreateSpace. It'll get you on Amazon. You can write in an anthology book like I've done. Or you can go the hard way and get a publishing deal. And there's some great resources that are in the show notes. One is from Chris Brogan. You might know him from writing Trust Agents. He's got a Google Plus book coming out. Really, really great writer. And he had, a 5 or 6 post series on writing a book. And it's everything from finding the time to how to make money from your book, the discipline in writing it, how to structure it, how to market and promote it, all kinds of cool stuff. And the links for all those posts are going to be in the show notes. So make sure you check that out. And then the second resource, this is probably the craziest resource I've ever found on creating a book and releasing a book, is from Jenny Blake, who wrote a book called Life After College. And it's a 21-tab spreadsheet on everything that you need to do, from writing the book to releasing the book to marketing the book to, you know, everything in between. How to contact bloggers, how to ensure that it's getting on shelves, how to check your stats, how to write, you know, how to figure out topics, how to find an editor, just everything. 21 tabs of stuff, and I got a link for you right under this in the show notes. Probably the craziest thing I've ever seen. All right, so far we've talked about people by people and to leverage the media. Step three, and we've started to talk about this, it's to align yourself with the people that can help you get where you want to go, right? So we talked about this last week, we've talked about it today, and really the biggest change for me in my business and in my lifestyle is when I started spending more and more time with the people I wanted to be like, you know? It was hanging out with people like Brett, hanging out with my partner Nick, hanging out with people like Preston Ely, hanging out with, you know, high-level internet marketers and business people, hanging out with investors, hanging out now like with my trainer. Every day I go into CrossFit, I hang out for an extra 15 minutes because I just want to talk to him. I want to like learn some of his fitness stuff and his tips. And, you know, today we talked about, you know, protein powder for like 30 minutes, but like it's not just you know, business, but find these people in all aspects of your life, from money to business, health, fitness, stuff you like to do on the weekends. You know, I just got back from the trip to Puerto Rico where, you know, I spent time not with my business friends, but, you know, just with three people that just like to surf. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's just aligning yourself with all the people that you want to get there. And I think it was Napoleon Hill, he was one of those guys, but it's like your net worth. And really, I want to change that net worth, but just really your life is an extension of the people that you surround yourself with. So you need to surround yourself with these people. And one of the things that I wanted to hit on is you don't have to exactly be friends with them. You just need to find ways to spend time with them and their thoughts, right? So that could be in forums. That could be, you know, buying their programs, listening to their audio stuff and their podcasts. Maybe it's meeting them in person. Maybe it's buying someone coffee and going out to lunch. Maybe it's interning or working for someone for free, mm-hmm. just to be around them. And Charlie Hone, super, super cool guy. There's a link to this TED Talk that he gave all about working for free. And, you know, it's an interesting concept that he brings on. He's like, listen, we go to college 4 years, we get to be 20, 30 grand in debt, and then we go work for 10 bucks an hour to not do what we want. He's like, what if you worked for free for 4 years with four of the biggest inspirations in your life? You just work for free for them. You're not going into debt. You could, you know, even if you just take out a loan to work for free for a little bit just to eat and pay rent, after those 4 years, how much further along could you be? And for Charlie, this led him, when he worked for free, he worked with Tucker Max, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell and Assholes Finish First, the author of those two books. He was the executive assistant for Ramit Sethi from I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And then after those, Ramit introduced him to Tim Ferriss, and he actually did all of the co-marketing with Tim on the 4-Hour Body, and he's now Tim's really only full-time non-virtual employee that works for Tim. Like, that's crazy. All because he started working for free, because he surrounded himself with the people that he wanted to be like.
Yeah, this is kind of like the a lot of that plays into what's called NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, where you basically emulate the, you know, somebody that you look up to. I mean, they've been doing that for, oh gosh. I mean, there's a book that came out in the 80s, and Anthony Robbins really you know, kind of use that concept to really incorporate it into a lot of the things he wrote about. But they had all those systems. I used to study that a lot, NLP, and how do you do it, and what do you copy all the way down to their mannerisms and everything. But, you know, everyone had one. Every great leader in the world's always had somebody that was a mentor, somebody they were trying to act like. There was a story, real quick one. I'll make it quick. A guy, he believed he went to a fortune teller. This was in the book. Went to a fortune teller. The lady said that you were the reincarnation of Napoleon, and he was this, you know, complete loser guy. And so after that, he got every book he could on Napoleon, and then, you know, he started, you know, acting like him, and you know, just, you know, emulating the way he, you know, held himself and everything. And he went on to be this successful multimillionaire guy. And later he found the fortune teller, and he was like, "Thank you so much for telling me who I really was, and, you know, what I was capable of." And she's like, "What?" He's like, "Well, that I'm Napoleon and reincarnated and stuff." She's like, "Oh, I was just telling you that to get you out of my place of business." You know, she's like, I was just taking your money. But the fact is he just engrossed himself with that idea that he wanted to be who he thought he was. Same kind of concept. You emulate these people. You figure out what they do. And at the end of the day, everyone puts on their shoes the same way. I mean, maybe some people do it different, but overall, everyone ties their shoes, you know, the same way. So they're real, yep, people, but the other parts that make them who they are is what you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I love that. That's an NLP tactic called modeling. At least that's what Tony Robbins called it. But definitely go and look up modeling. It's an NLP concept, and it's huge. All right. So we've gotten through three of them now. People by people, leverage the media, and align yourself with people that can help you become the person that you want to be. And number four, this took me a long time to realize, and it's to get really, really good at what you do and try to be really, really, really good at only one thing.
That's
right?
Hard.
And I fought this one hard. Brett, I know you fight this one hard all the time, right? So just with the Product Pros in the last 6 months or so, We started the company because I wanted to create information products for people. I'd done it myself. You know, I've been pretty successful at it. I love, you know, the concept of helping people get to their goals by helping other people get their goals. I just love it, you know, tenfold. So we created the company, The Product Pros. I wanted to brand myself as The Product Pro. And as the business started to grow, we were like, all right, well, let's try and do custom webinars for people. It's kind of like a product, but, you know, it's a webinar instead of a product, but it's kind of the same concept. And then how do we market this stuff? Well, let's try doing this, some advertising for clients and this and that. And once you started to do that, you started to pull yourself in different directions, right? So what happened is we started seeing lackluster results in everything instead of great results in one thing. And, you know, I finally figured it out really in the last like 45 days or so, right? I once again, I tried to not stretch myself thin and really got back to being this product pro, right? Not some all-in-one solution for everything. And in December, sales went through the roof, and December was our best on the books month ever because we only sold products. We got back to what we were good at. We found a great irresistible offer and we sold the heck out of it. And I did what I do best, which is create products for people. I see their ideas and I put it in a tangible format, and it was really good. So all that to say is, you know, fight it hard because it is one of the most difficult things in the world. Brett, I know you have, you know, it's just as difficult for you as it is for me to really focus on one thing. But get really good, you know. Study everything, study everyone that you can, and then practice it. It's not enough to just know it in your head. Go out and practice it. Build your team around one core idea. And that's hard to do, right?
It's hard to do.
Some of the places where I found motivation for this was in the Founders Club. Rich Sheffern writes reports every other month. And two reports that I read, that I reread, that really got me there are one called The Core Concept and one called The Core Myth. And essentially, it's all about coming up with this core concept, this one or two sentence concept that at any point someone can understand exactly what you do. It's the concept of your entire business, and every decision that you make revolves around this core concept. So, you know, one of mine is I help professionals create highly valuable and extremely profitable information educational products from idea to completion. Boom, get it, got it, good. And I'm damn good, and I'm getting better at it every day. And that's our core concept, right? I help professionals create highly valuable and extremely profitable information educational products from idea to completion. Boom, get it, got it, good. That's it. Like, that's the whole core concept. That's my entire business model in one sentence. And now you make every single decision in your business based on that core concept. So that's my core concept, and it's just really, really powerful. And so let's recap. Let's go over these four things real quick, Brett, and then let's get everybody on the path to action this week. Number one, show your personality. People buy people, so be a cool person.
Mm-hmm.
Real important. Number two, get seen in the media, then leverage the hell out of those logos. Right? I mean, Brett, you see it on the Radically Ambitious site. You see it on everything that I do. You see it in my bio. Brett, you're starting to do it too. But it's really powerful, right?
It's really powerful.
Me and you co-wrote an article in Fast Company a couple weeks mm-hmm. ago, right? I mean, how huge is that to say that I'm a featured blogger, expert blogger for Fast Company?
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you do it and you throw it out on Facebook and everyone's like, whoa. All right, then. So you're not really just – you are making money on those interwebs? You know, it's kind of like one of those things like, we figured it out.
Yeah, and it was also – I was talking to a client yesterday or two – on Saturday or a couple of days ago, whatever, and she was getting to interview Stedman, Oprah's pseudo-boyfriend, and – you know, she was all nervous and she was asking me for some advice because she wanted to use the interview to, you know, put out a special report and an MP3 to help her sell her product that we're putting together. And so I was just like, listen, people are going to make it as big of a deal as you make it, right? So if you take some behind the scene photos, if you tweet while you're there, if you're doing some behind the scenes stuff, all this stuff, and you're putting it out to your group, people are going to think you're larger than life. You're interviewing Stedman. I mean, this guy's probably the number one sugar daddy in the entire world, you know?
Yeah.
But it's only as big of a deal as you make it. So if you have an opportunity to get seen in the media, leverage the hell out of it because other people are going to perceive it as being really, really cool, right? When my first book came out, I leveraged the heck out of it. I was sending copies to everyone. I was giving away free chapters. I was doing all these bonuses, sending out crazy emails, you know, doing interviews, all kinds of stuff because I wanted to make it a big deal. And when mm-hmm. I made it a big deal, other people made it a big deal. And then it becomes something. So get seen in the media.
I got two copies, man. Two copies.
You're kept baller. Voting.
I was like, man, I got to get another book. I got to get another one.
So that's number two. Three, start hanging out with and constantly listening to the people that live the lives you want to live. And if that's us, leave us a review on iTunes because we would love you for it. And number four, get super good at one thing, not 12. And that's super hard to do. But once you do that, things open up. All right. So boom, those are the four things that have helped me kind of become pretty successful in doing what I do. At least I like to think that I am. I'm doing some fun stuff and having a good time. So I think they're going to work for you as well. All right, Brett. So it is time for the inspirational hip-hop quote of the week. And this week comes from one of my favorite groups growing up in South Florida, the Dirty South. We got Outkast on the song B.O.B., which is also Bombs Over Baghdad, where Big Boy says, "Make a business for yourself, boy. Set some goals. Make a fat diamond out of dusty coals." Because that's what we nice. Entrepreneurs do. We set goals, we find problems, and we turn those problems into fat diamonds.
I don't even remember him saying that. They say it so fast in that song.
I know. I just broke it down. But that's what we do. Make a business for yourself and set some goals, and then leave a review on iTunes. Tell us what you thought of this week's episode. Go through Brett's video that tells you all about goalsontrack.com. Put my four action steps into play, and we will see you all next week.